Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuva, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic Congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
There is a connection, a solidarity, a communion of those in fellowship with the Spirit of the living God. So what's a fellowship anyway, right? Fellowship. It's rooted, really, you know, when you deal with etymology, it goes all the way back to the idea of two people in a boat, in a ship, relating to each other, rowing together, you know, relating and communing. Two fellows in a ship. We get the word fellow and ship, and we put that together. And, of course, that's the basis of the idea of what the word means. It means to connect, to commune, to relate as a team, not as an individual, but as a team. It's a communion of people committed to each other and to a shared vision and mission, a set of core values and beliefs, and even shared resources. So when I think of a fellowship today, I think of like academic fellowships, you know, for undergraduates or graduates or postgraduate fellowships, or political fellowships. We call those parties, the Republican Party, the Green Party, the Independent Party, right? Business fellowships, like the Fortune 500, Wall Street, Main Street. How about labor fellowships? What do we call those? Union. Medical fellowships. As we approach medicine in different ways, we develop these groups or fellowships like the AMA, the American Medical Association. It's allopathic in its paradigm. Or chiropractic. Or the naturopathic disciplines. All, you know, joining together under a core set of values and mission and vision to reach out and help people. Sports fellowships. Baseball, soccer, football, you know, the Hall of Fame, you know, these are like the big fellowships that everyone tries to get into, want to be a part of, right? Generally speaking, regardless of the fellowship, one must qualify before being accepted into the fellowship. And you must maintain the standards of the fellowship in order to remain in it. Did you know that there's a fellowship that you as a believer are a part of? 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14 says this. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The question is what exactly is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? And how do I participate in that? What are the benefits of that fellowship? What are the privileges given to those who are in that fellowship? So let's begin with the first question. What is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Seeing how this is the season of Shavuot, and one of the great themes of Shavuot is the outpoured Spirit, I thought I would talk about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It is a spiritual entity that is a life-giving, transformational phenomenon. It's a place of acceptance, of being accepted, of belonging, a place of peace, a peace that passes understanding, a place of joy, a place of satisfaction, a place of connection with others, both past, present, and future. It's a place of purpose. Place of meaning. The question is, who would not want to be a part of this? This is like the ultimate fellowship when you think about it. And most everyone is seeking these values and these virtues in various ways. People seek what I've just shared with you. They've sought that through religion, to try to obtain that through some type of spiritual experience. our education, where they pursue all of these virtues, all these values through the intellect, or through politics, the government, right? Arts and entertainment. We look for these things through sports and music and film and literature, business, you know, the pursuit of a career, trying to reach and get into these fellowships within business in order to find a place of acceptance and belonging, of meaning and purpose. The media, right? News and primetime programming. What's that all about, right? It's about controlling the masses. And for some people, they find great motivation in trying to control the masses. And then you have the family. Homeschooling, arranged marriages, all in the attempt to protect the family's heritage. However, none of these can meet the satisfaction that our hearts long for, our deep desires for connection and acceptance and purpose and meaning and true happiness. None of them. In fact, seeking to quench your thirst for the truly spiritual through any of these avenues is misguided at best, and at worst, idolatrous. Religions will fail you. Drink the Kool-Aid. Education will depart. Alzheimer's. How many people saw the movie I'm Still Alice? Oh, what a powerful movie of a university professor who was the top in her field, who went and just lectured all around the globe to postgraduate institutions and groups. Her mind was so tight. And then she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in her, I think it was her late 40s, early 50s, and it was a very aggressive form. And she began to lose her ability to even speak. And all of her identity was in her education, her academic accomplishment and degrees. All of that now, just running through her hands like water. Yeah. And the whole thrust of the movie is, I'm still Alice. Even when everything that I've put my identity in fails, I'm still Alice. In other words, Alice is more than a degree, right? That was the point of the movie. Powerful. You cannot put your trust and hope in government to secure these things that I've shared. The government's not going to do that for you. In fact, the government actually ultimately always takes away your rights and your wealth. That's why God said to Israel, why do you want to be like all the other nations? Don't you know that if you have a king, he's going to tax you? I hate taxes. Man, I'll tell you what, I could go on that bandwagon for a long time, but some people look at the government as though the government's going to actually give them the things they long for, the acceptance, the undergirding, the support, you know. They're going to take care of you. No, they're not. They're going to take everything from you. In the end, you have nothing. Why, they live in opulent wealth. Yeah. Arts and entertainment. Can't save anyone. Business and its monetary or subsequent money is temporary. You're not going to take a dime with you when you die. Media. Controlling people is ultimately impossible. Family? Is that where your trust is? Is that where your heart is? Is that where you think you're going to find your acceptance and your happiness? Yet in a few generations, you will be forgotten and thus irrelevant to your descendants. Only the Spirit of God can meet all of our needs, hopes, and dreams. Only the Spirit of God. And our thirst for the spiritual, our hunger for God, is met only in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, we encounter the dynamic, living, and true God. In Him, we get connected. In Him, we get rooted and grounded and settled as peace begins to overtake our lives. And then we discover the purpose and meaning of our lives in our relationship with God. And thus, the satisfaction that our hearts long for. That joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. That's an amazing transformation. And you can experience that in every generation, in every place on the planet. It is the kingdom of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit, transcendent and yet here with us. What about the privileges? The privileges of the fellowship, right? How about the power of God? How about the power of God? People are searching for power. Part of the masses of humanity, they desire power. There's a grab for power in business and the arts and education. Isn't it true that we long to have some authority and power? In the fellowship, we have the very power of God. The very power that created all things, seen and unseen, living in us. Think about that. That he has given us his Spirit that we might represent him, our Father in heaven. That we might be ambassadors of the King of Heaven on earth, giving testimony and witness to the reality of the presence of God here on earth. Acts 1:8. Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. I'm going to give you power to be my witnesses. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and even greater works shall he do. For I go to the Father. Ask anything in my name, and I will give it to you. Who wants to be part of that fellowship? In Messiah, you are part of that fellowship. This is your heritage. Power to prophesy boldly in regard to King Jesus and his kingdom. Yeah, you know, my neighbor asked me to come and help him because he just had back surgery, and he bought like 9 pergolas. And they weighed about 250 pounds of pergola. I mean, there's just no way. Him and his son-in-law moved one to the backyard, but that was it he can do. So he, you know, they're talking across the street looking at me. I knew they were going to ask me. So I said, sure. I went over there, and I said, let me go get my back brace. I said, I got a little bit of a trick back. I'm not sure if I can do it either, but I'll see. I'll know right away, you know. So I got my harness on, went back over. It's my King Supers, you know. They gave it to me when I left after 20 years. So anyway, so we started moving those, and then in between we'd rest because they were so heavy. They were so heavy. So anyway, we started moving those, and we were talking and so forth, and we kind of get back out front, and we're almost done with the job, and so we're just sitting around talking, and son-in-law was up in the truck, and I was down with his father-in-law, and we were just talking. And so he said, so you worked at King Supers? I said, yeah, worked at King Supers 20 years. He goes, and then you became a pastor. I said, you got it. That's right. He said, that's amazing. I said, yeah, it is. He says, you know, I'm not religious. He says, but I do have a relationship with Jesus. He says, in fact, I don't believe in religion. He says, I got a Baptist background, which is code for independent. And the independent Baptists of the South. So he says, I'm Baptist. He says, I don't believe in religion. I believe in relationship. And I have a relationship with Jesus. He says, I don't go anywhere. Because it's not about religion. It's about relationship. And I have that in Jesus. I think he was putting me on notice. He didn't share that with me at the beginning. But now that I got most of it done, he started sharing that. Because I think he was anticipating what I might say. Like, you think this was free. So anyway, I said, you know, that's good because I believe that too. It's about relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, amen. I said, and Jesus Christ said that he gave to the church, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and so forth, to equip the body Because every believer in Jesus needs to be in a local body to get equipped. And that's why I'm helping you today. You thought it was free. I said, it's not. I said, here's the payoff. You got to go to my church. I did. I prophesied. I just felt like I was supposed to tell them, you're going to my church. That's why I moved over here. There's something bigger than me just moving next door. It's me and you, you know? So I told him that, and then he got really, like, you know, a little bit freaked. So I had to get off the prophecy bandwagon and kind of laugh a little bit with him and say, okay, I'm just messing with you, you know, even though I wasn't. But right away, we've begun this relationship. We've had some more interaction, and I'm going to have him over for Rav Shabbat and hopefully get him here. And I'll tell you what, that's my brother. And he's loaded with gifting. Just fine. This guy's just a great guy. And we're missing what he has to offer. Every one of you are important because you bring something here that makes this local fellowship important and valuable. We've been given the power to heal the sick, not indiscriminately. Jesus did not heal indiscriminately. He didn't just heal everyone. He healed certain people. Even the hospital of his day, when he went down there and they were all sick and they're waiting for the waters to be stirred, that was the hospital of the day. That was where all the sick went. It was like a natural healing pool that the angel used to heal people, and everyone's down there, all the sick. He went down there and he healed one person. Of all those that were there, he looked at one and said, I'll heal this person. Power to heal, but not indiscriminately. God will use you to pray for people for their healing, and they'll get healed, the ones that he's healing. And the ones that he is not healing, you can pray till you're blue in the face, and they're not going to be healed. You know why? You're not the healer. He's the healer. You're the ambassador. You represent him. You do what he's doing. That's your job. That's my job. But he's given us the power to heal the sick, to set those that are controlled by demons free, and to lead the lost back home to the Father, to open the doors wide for the prodigals, to receive them back, to love on them, to make a way for them to return to the Father. And then we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So we have all these gifts, and they're given to the local body by the Spirit of God. And all of them are different. The ministries are different. The giftings are different. The manifestations of those giftings are different. And they're given to the local church for their good, for their welfare. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But the one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. Lots of gifts. And he's going to give those to his people so that in every local church, the gifts of the Spirit are present. And he decides who gets what. It can't be like little kids. Well, this is what I got, so you should have that too. Oh, you don't have that? Then you must not have the Spirit. No, many gifts, many manifestations, one Spirit. If you have any of the gifts, it's because you have the one and same Spirit who gives to each one whom he wills. Not everyone's going to speak in tongues. Not everyone's going to prophesy. Not everyone's going to heal the sick. Not everyone's going to cast out demons. But your community will have a good representation of those gifts so that the community as a community is spoken of, that community that does the works that Jesus did and greater works than he did. This is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. As we have this fellowship of the Spirit, we receive these benefits, these privileges. Let the Spirit of God be the Spirit of God. He will give to whomever he will, whatever he desires. I remember early in the charismatic movement, when we first kind of got involved in the charismatic movement, man, it was all about people getting the same gift. Everyone was expected to have the same gift, you know. And you know what gift that was, right? And boy, you know, you just worked everyone, make sure everyone gets that same gift. Anyone that got came up and got prayed for, you know, people came up, how many of you baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know? So that automatically meant, well, you got to get them to speak in tongues. That's called gift projection, where you project your gift experience onto someone else. And then you work that till you make that happen in order for them to be filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know what? We let all that go. We discovered God is God and we are not. And that when people are praying for the infilling of the Spirit of God, for a fresh touch from the Spirit of God, for the baptism of the Spirit of God, we let the signs and wonders thing happen in God's way, according to his design and his timing. We don't presume anything. We just come up and we just pray for people and we leave the rest to God. We've seen people get filled with the Holy Spirit right away. Begin manifesting some experience in the Spirit right away. We've seen other people leave with no experience at all. Call us back later on. Yeah, around 10 p.m. tonight, you know, this incredible thing happened to me. I want to share it with you. Or 2 weeks later, or 6 months later. Yeah, God's way, God's timing. God is God. We are not. So we allow the Holy Spirit just to do what he wants to do. And that's a much more relaxed environment, isn't it? Okay. What about the fruit of the Spirit? Listen to this. This is part of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You know, in Jesus, we have this gift of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is poured out upon us. We have all of these things through that fellowship of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that brings that to us. The experience of connection. The experience of the supernatural. The experience of the gifts of God. The character of God, the power and boldness of God to witness and share your faith. That comes as a result of the fellowship. We're in the fellowship. It is an awesome fellowship. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. Yeah, isn't that a big human need? To be loved? Yeah. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Imagine that. Having these things in our lives, they're available to us through the Holy Spirit. We just need to learn to yield to the Spirit of God, to relate to the Spirit of God, to commune with the Spirit of God, to ask the Spirit of God to do these works in us so that I can be a better husband, a better pastor, a better friend, a better sibling, a better citizen. You know, it helps me to be just all that I can be through the Spirit of God. So how do I get into this fellowship? The fellowship of the Spirit. Jesus alone. No religion, no academic degree, no political affiliation, no amount of money, no celebrity status, place of influence, or family pedigree will secure a place for you in this fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus can bring you into the fellowship. Only Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. No one. You must confess and repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Jesus alone as your Lord and Savior. He'll do the rest. He'll do the rest. You just got to say, I'm lost. I need to be saved. I know that I'm a sinner, that I have no hope without Jesus. If that's you, that's all you need to do to get into fellowship. That's the standard. That's the requirement. And I know that most of us are saved. Most of us are saved, but there's a few of us that are not saved. There's a few of us that are not born again. There's a few of you who think you're saved and you're not. You have no relationship with Jesus Christ. You've never asked him to be your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't, you are not saved. You're not in the fellowship. So my question to you is, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? So I just want to make this appeal to you. If you're here and you're thinking of this, I want to ask you to make a decision for Jesus Christ, to ask him into your heart as Lord and Savior, to come forward today and say, yes, that's me. I want to be saved. I want to be in the fellowship. I want to be forgiven. I want to know God. I want to be known by God. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, now's the time to do it. So if that's you, come up. Come up now. If you brought a friend here and you know that friend is not saved and they're a little bit nervous right now, you just turn around as your friend and say, I'll go up with you. I'll take you up. Come with me. We'll go together. I'm going to wait for about 1 minute. If that's you, come on up. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's transition. Can we get that song ready? I want to play that last song that we played today. It's the Chris Tomlin song. So, I want to do an altar call for the believer. And if you believe in Jesus, but you're saying, I need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm ready for a fresh infilling. Change my oil. I need some new oil, right? If you're wanting that today, I'm just going to ask you to come with an open heart and an open mind. If you're hungry for a fresh touch from God, come on up, stand up here, and I'm going to ask you to say some things with me and just get a fresh infilling today before you leave the service. So if that's you, come on up, stand up here, and we're going to pray for you. Don, I'm going to ask you to come on up and ask the elders and their spouses to come on up. Hallelujah. Fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Don, I'm going to have you wait just a minute. Come on up. She's ready to go. She's going to Zambia, man. She is ready to go. Hallelujah. Okay, so what we're going to do is have you stand up here. And then I'm going to have the elders and their wives stand behind. And then I'm going to ask those that have come up for a fresh new touch from God's Spirit. Just stand up here and receive from God. Receive from God, and they're going to go behind you, and they're just going to touch you and pray and impart to you a fresh new infilling of the Holy Spirit. Your job is to receive from God. Just receive from God. Open up your hearts and let it all go and know that the Father loves you. He loves you. And you just receive from him. And some of you are going to receive some gifts today. Some of you are going to get an impartation of God in a way that brings fruit in your life in areas that you're longing for. Maybe more self-control, maybe more love, whatever it might be. But there's going to be a work of the Spirit that's done in you today as a result of you coming up here for this time. So just say after me, Jesus, my Lord and Savior, I need a fresh new infilling of the Holy Spirit. Immerse me, fill me, light me up with the fire of your Spirit. Ignite me with love and power. Give me that joy unspeakable and full of glory. I need your gifts and I need your fruits in my life. So here I am. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fill me up to overflowing. Jesus, in your glorious name, I pray. Now, just stay up here, keep your hands up, and receive from the Father. We're going to play this song. And then the elders, I want you to move through. If you have a prophetic word, you just speak it out. Even if they can't hear it, it's okay. But just pray and touch people and release the Spirit of God in these people that are up here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we ask for you to do a work in your spirit. And everyone that's come forward, do a work in them. Do a work in them. Let not your hearts be troubled. Fear not, for I am with you. I know you before I ever created you, everything about you. My love for you is an eternal love, an eternal love, an eternal love. What are you looking for? Why are you looking around, son? Why are you looking around, daughter? I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm all you need. Put your trust in me. Give me your heart, and I'll direct your steps. So, Father, we bless those that have come forward in the name of Yeshua. And I say to each of you, forgiven, forgiven. You are released from your sins. Do not look behind, neither to the right or to the left, but look to me. Look forward. Go forward with me. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. It's an appointed time, which marks a new beginning. So receive it. And walk by faith and not by sight. So, Father, as we release your people today, we ask for your Spirit to watch over every one of us. For those that have not come up today, our entire community, for those that are not here today, we ask that you watch over us, that you protect us, our generations past and our generations forward. Watch over us, O God, in Yeshua's mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Shabbat shalom.
Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panav alecha ve'yihunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha ve'asem lecha shalom. Shabbat shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehila Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat shalom and Shavua tov. Shabbat.